Hey, everybody. Welcome to the You Were Born for This podcast with Father John Ricardo, Mary Guilfoyle. We're a couple of missionaries at Acts 29, and this is the podcast where we talk about the Word of God and how it brings transformation and renewal to our lives. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great, Father John.
Your bag's packed?
Getting there. In fact, I think I have to buy one more before we hit the road.
Yeah, we're gonna
be gone a long time.
We're going to be gone, you, me, Albert,
Rick.
Julie, we're taking off for Vancouver this coming Friday to be out with the good people of God out there in British Columbia for 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
More or less, to do a fair amount of mission work. So our podcast is probably not going to sound, at least in terms of its auditory brilliance, quite as good as these do, because we're in our studio right now. So we're going to be remote and on location. But we really want to ask everybody to pray for us for... Can't wait to be with the people of God out there. There's so many great things that are happening in that archdiocese. We have some good friends there. And I've never been to Vancouver. I've heard it's simply stunning.
Yeah, I have for some time looked at that area as a place to potentially vacation. So God has given us like a three-week time to be there. And so we would ask y'all not to just pray for us, but to pray in particular for those that God wants to minister to through us, because we talk all the time over and over again that God is doing amazing things. And when we go out, we're just building upon what God's already done there. But we believe God wants more. And so pray for those.
Yeah, amen. We're going to do a revival on Saturday. Then we're going to have some time to be with some other leaders the following weekend from various parishes. And we're going to be with the priests, or at least a number of priests on retreat. Right. You know, as you were saying that, we get to see God move. I was at the gym the other day. And ran into a guy who I know from a parish I used to serve at years ago. And at one point he asked me, like, how are things going? And I said, oh, it's extraordinary what we see. And he looked at me, he's a really devout guy. And he goes, really? And I went,
kidding.
Yeah, like, really? And I think that's just where so many people are. They see the news, they read the headlines. It looks like the church is just in decline. The metrics might be whatever they are. I don't really care about the metrics. Jesus is Lord. And he's moving and he's getting all his children back together and he's doing extraordinary things. But it was just, yeah, he was so surprised, like, oh, I didn't realize God was alive.
That Jesus is still sitting on his throne, right? But, you know, but even I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but, you know, even just walking in today to record our conversation, I got a glimpse of the news. I haven't been looking at the news this last week because we had a bunch of beautiful leaders with us on campus this week. And as I was reading the news and catching up on a few things, I just heard the Lord say, eyes up.
Yep.
Eyes up. Eyes on me, because God is with us, right? Amen. And he's moving in power all over the place.
So with that as an interlude, what's our topic for today?
We're all wrong about him. That's our topic for
today. What a cheery title. Yeah. All right. Awesome. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come Holy Spirit, and just fall upon Mary and myself right now. Help us to be attentive to your guidance, your direction. Put your words in our mouths. Fall upon the ears and the minds and the hearts of all those who are listening. Help us to hear those things that you want us to be attentive to. Bring healing where it's needed. Straighten that which is bent. Help us, Holy Spirit, to see the Father a bit more clearly. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So our first reading for next Sunday comes again from Acts chapter 10, verses 25 through 26, 34 through 35, and then 44 through 48. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and falling at his feet, paid him homage. Peter, however, raised him up, saying, "Get up. I myself am also a human being." Then Peter proceeded to speak and said, "In truth, I see that God shows no partiality. Rather, in every nation, whoever fears him and acts uprightly is acceptable to him." While Peter was still speaking these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the word. The circumcised believers who had accompanied Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should have been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they could hear them speaking in tongues and glorifying God. Then Peter responded, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have?" He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
So, you know, just a quick thought, even as you're reading that, I'm just thinking back to the conversation that you and I were having before we hit record. And maybe for those who are just getting accustomed to praying with the scriptures on a regular basis, the conversation that you and I had might be instructive. And we were talking about, you know, we spend the week praying with the scriptures. What we do is much like I would do always in getting ready to preach, which is just, I want to start reading the scriptures the Sunday before the Sunday that I'm going to be preaching and just asking the Lord to speak. And I underline things, I write notes, I'm attentive to inspirations. And you and I were both sharing with each other all the different things that the Lord had spoken to us. And there's obviously an opportunity to go in so many different directions when you preach or when we do this podcast or whatever the case might be. And yet the challenge, at least for me in preaching, is always to pay attention to, given all that, what's the thing that the Lord in a most particular way is just pressing on me, saying to me, going back to. And so there's, just like with every passage, there's so much to go, so many directions to go here, but we're going to try to hone in on one thing in particular and hopefully tie in a few practical things. So here we are, we're back in Acts chapter 10 again. I mean, you might remember we were in Acts chapter 10 on Easter Sunday. It was the first reading on Easter Sunday. So why are we back here in Acts chapter 10 again? So you might want to check out episode 274 that we did, because we speak a little bit more in detail about who is this Cornelius guy and why is this so significant. He's the first Gentile to be baptized. He's a Roman centurion, right? But we, you know, we could call this something like the Gentile Pentecost, right?
That is. I mean, that's how scripture scholars refer to it, right?
Yeah. So we're getting ready for Pentecost, and at least in my mind, you know, this is kind of a duh moment. Why would the church put this back in front of us right now, since we were already in Acts chapter 10 on Easter Sunday? And I think it's because it's trying to help us get ready. She, the church, is trying to help us get ready for the celebration of Pentecost, which is just a couple of weeks away now. I'm always struck, I don't know about you, but like this works so, God can do whatever he wants. They get like quote unquote confirmed before they get baptized.
I love that.
Isn't that wild?
That was one of the things I wanted to talk about if we had gone in a different direction. Right. I mean, but I won't go there. But yeah, that was one of the things that caught my heart.
But it had to. I mean, it obviously does like shock Peter and the other Jews who were there. It's like, what just happened? Like the Spirit fell on them. And that's why Peter says, okay, like given that, I think we can probably baptize them since
his whole preaching is interrupted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somebody says that, like the Holy Spirit interrupts Peter. Yeah. Okay, you're done, son. Boom. Exactly, I'm just going to fall on these people. Which I think is great.
Great stuff.
So, we're getting ready for Pentecost, which is a time for us to start really thinking now in these weeks in preparation for Pentecost about the Holy Spirit, not just thinking about the Holy Spirit, but beginning to maybe more intentionally ask the Holy Spirit to move in us. And as we're thinking about the Spirit and asking him to move, it's worth maybe backing up and go, well, what does the Spirit do in our lives? And he does lots of things, to be sure, right? But I think one of the most important things that he does is he reveals the Father to us. And he doesn't just reveal who the Father is. He cries out within us, Abba. Mm-hmm. And that's the word that Jesus calls God by in the Gospels. I mean, this is a spectacular word. And it's not a term, it's often translated as something like daddy, as if it's a little child's word, and I think people can get the wrong impression. It's a term of remarkable intimacy. But it doesn't mean daddy in the way that we might think of it. It means more like it's a cry of, or an address of stability, reliability. A friend of mine who used to live in Jerusalem who taught over there, he says, I remember being in a grocery store one time and seeing a 4 or 5 year old girl, maybe younger than that, in an aisle on her own. She was kind of lost and she couldn't find her dad. And so she just like lifted up her arms and cried, Abba. And from another aisle, you know, he could hear her dad say, I'm coming. And that's what that cry means, like, Abba. So you throw your hands up and I know you're going to hear me and come and get me wherever I might be, huh? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you mentioned that we had some leaders with us this past week in town. So we were asking people to pray for one of our leadership immersives. That's really where it got us thinking in a different direction, perhaps, than where the Spirit was leading us in our own reflections earlier in the week about where God might want to go with this podcast episode. So talk a little bit about, share with people what we do in the immersive, that one afternoon, right, where we just set aside time to go into the chapel and to ask the Lord to heal something which in all of us is distorted, right?
Yeah, I think if we're honest, and I would say it's all of us, even if we don't know it, that the weightiest struggle for all of us is identity. Hmm. And to the degree that we understand not only who we are, but most importantly, like whose we are, we're going to allow all the different voices in the culture or the enemy's voice in particular that the culture leverages like crazy to bestow identity. Yeah. On us, but before we can even get to that place, we have to go back to answer the question, like, who is the Father?
Yeah.
Like, who is the Father, and how do I see the Father? And has that image of the Father in some way or another been distorted or marred?
Yeah, you know, we share with people oftentimes. This might sound almost blasphemous to some people. I don't mean it to be that way, but it's provocative. I think sometimes we can get overly Christocentric, mm-hmm. meaning we focus, so we all have a distorted image of Jesus. We talk a lot about that he's not just kind, he's not just gentle. He is those things, but he's more than that. He's unconquerable. But even more than we have a distorted image of Jesus, we have a distorted image of the Father. And I think we focus so much on Jesus, and because so many people have a hang-up with God's fatherhood for so many
absolutely.
Different reasons,
absolutely.
We don't even go
right.
there.
Right.
But Jesus is always talking about his Father. Like 190 times at least, he mentions the Father in the Gospels, and then he refers to him a number of other times in different ways. And all of us have... like we all have distorted images of the Father. Like I share with people, my dad was the greatest man I've ever known in my life. He was an awesome dad. But for all his greatness, I have a distorted image of the Father because of him, because my dad was so kind to me that I'm prone to just presume the Father's love in a bad way. Because my dad... I'm the youngest of five kids. My sisters are listening and they're probably like rolling their eyes right now. But like I got away with murder. And, you know, if John does it, it's okay. But like everybody, like my brother said that to him one time. If John asked you that, you'd give it to him. And my dad came to me afterwards and said, I have to be really careful in how you and I do things. You know, so he was aware that he would, to the scriptures this week, he would show partiality to me. And he stopped doing that. But because of that, like, I have a distorted image of God. Like, well, I'm me. I can do whatever I want because he loves me. Right? Does that make sense?
Oh, totally makes sense. And you were sharing that this week, actually, with our beautiful friends that were with us. And I don't think for most of us, like, we've had that experience. Like, most of us don't presume on the goodness and the mercy of God, which is helpful actually to hear, because for so many of us, we presumed God the Father to be this angry, as one of the sisters that I hold in high regard, I listen to her a lot, the unibrow librarian, like this angry, disappointed father, right? And both images are so wrong. It's almost as you were talking, Father John, I can see like how that pendulum swings from left to right. But we need to have a proper, right ordered, healthy understanding of his goodness and his kindness. And he is all those things, right? Yeah. He's not angry, but he is also just.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, so we not only have a distorted image of the Father because of our own experiences of our earthly dads, which could have been awesome like mine, but I take that to the extreme, or really bad like many, many people's.
Or you know, something else I'm thinking, Father John, before you go there, even maybe an absent father.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about like neither, you know, presuming good or permissive or overly just, but it just even about an absent father, like I may not even be aware there is a good father.
Yeah, my dad just wasn't there for me.
Yeah,
how many
absolutely.
People would say that? He just wasn't there.
Yeah, just wasn't there.
Didn't care.
I didn't know my dad. He wasn't around.
Yeah.
Right.
And that all these things they reinforce or they feed into what we often talk about as, you know, the devil's root strategy. It's what he did back in the garden in Genesis, and it's what he does in our lives. His root strategy is to accuse God and to accuse the Father in particular, to accuse us, to whisper in our ears, he's not good, you can't trust him, you can't rely on him, he's not faithful, he's not there, you'd be happier without him.
Gosh.
Right?
And how many of us have bought into that? Right? That he's not, I think of all of those things, that he's not good, that you can't trust him, that you'd be happier without him. I think at the root of so much, if I were to identify, like, what in that speaks to how it is we can get lost or not have a full view of who the Father is, it's that trustworthy part.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so we might know of the Father, we might think we have a relationship with the Father, but that trust piece, I think that's the hardest for people, that you trust what's good for me. Even when I've been praying it and my prayer hasn't been answered, Lord, are you trustworthy? Do you hear me? I love you. I know you. I desire happiness. I know you're good, but I'm not quite sure that I can trust.
That's right. And so that's why it's so important to remember Jesus comes to reveal the Father, and the Holy Spirit lives within us to do the same. Hence the title of this episode, we're all wrong about him. Mm-hmm. The him is the Father. Mm-hmm. And we're all wrong. We all have a distorted, somewhat, image of the Father. How could we not? We're finite beings with, you know, limited intellects and whatnot. And so the Spirit wants to heal that. And so that's really, this is going to be the action item, right? We want to share with you something that we share with people on the leadership immersives when we bring them here. It's just an exercise that we find to be very helpful. And so, go ahead, encouragement.
I just love what we're going to talk about, because we saw in real time the absolute power and transformation of this, of what it is we're going to invite our friends to do. We saw it in real time. And each of us on the ministry team had conversations with people after they took this exercise to prayer. And it brought tears and heart transformation like that. And we could share testimony after testimony after testimony of how mighty this prayer exercise is.
Yeah, it was really extraordinary, wasn't it?
There's an anointing. I'm feeling an anointing again that I felt familiar, that feels familiar of what we witnessed God do last week.
So mindful of Romans 8. Verses, I think it's 15 to 17, and then Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7, where Paul talks about how the Spirit lives within us and cries out from within, Abba. In other words, he wants to show us the Father. Here's what we're going to encourage us to do this week. Pray with Genesis chapter 3, which is the story of the fall, verses 1 through 11. Just start there, finish there. So don't go beyond 11. And so we see everything from, you know, the serpent coming and accusing God to Eve. And then we see them falling for the accusation and, you know, quote unquote, eating that which they're forbidden to eat. And it, and then afterwards, God asking questions of them. So they fall for the serpent's lie. It turns out, in fact, to be a horrific lie. It does not deliver what it promises, which is always the case with the temptation to sin. It has disastrous consequences, and they immediately hide. And then God starts speaking to them, to his creatures whom he made out of love for friendship. And the question that we want to encourage people to reflect on is, with what tone of voice do you hear God speak to his creatures, most especially in verse 9 and verse 11? Like, yeah, I just want to say that. Like, I don't want to lead the witness. What tone do you hear him speak and ask the questions that he asks? And then following up on that, what's my image of, not just God generically, what's my image of the Father? And where did that image come from?
Right? And the tone's going to drive that.
Absolutely. And reflect it.
Yeah, the tone is going to be the diagnostic.
Yeah, that's right.
Piece of all of this. And then once you hear that, why do I hear God's tone in that way?
Right.
Like what formed that? What shaped that?
Right. And then, so again, mindful that this is the story of the Gentile Pentecost, and it's preparing us for the celebration of Pentecost, mindful that the Spirit lives within us to reveal the Father, ask the Holy Spirit, after you've done this, maybe in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if you can get there, or in front of a crucifix, even if you have to pull it up on your phone or your iPad or whatever, ask the Holy Spirit to heal my distorted image of God, of the Father, and to show us just a bit more who he is. And ask him, maybe especially, even as he's doing that, as he's healing our own understanding of him, which of course heals my identity, because I get my identity, or my identity is more clear, more sure, more secure, the more I know him, right? Because I'm his son.
It's the fundamental relationship that informs everything else, right, Father John?
Yeah, absolutely. It is the heart. And it's, you know, we were talking earlier, it's the people who you most expect to be secure who are most insecure.
They just have, yeah.
They just hide it better. Yeah. You know, they got better coping skills, or they hide behind their beauty or their youth.
Or their accomplishments or whatever. Yeah, right. We all wear facades.
Yeah,
right.
So we look at those people as they acknowledge, like, wow, I have no security. You're like, really? You don't? And so everybody struggles with this. Mm-hmm. But then also, so that this doesn't become like a me and Jesus two-step, ask the Holy Spirit to give us more and more of the Father's heart. Because his is a heart that shows
no partiality. I mean, he is not a respecter of persons. Like, there is no partiality in God.
Yeah.
And I think just, you know, playing that out, I mean, God wants all of us. He wants all of his children home. He loves us. We're his. We've been purchased. And at what a mighty price. And so we should have his heart that has an eye always for the lost.
Yeah,
right?
So we want that too, right? So if he has no partiality and I'm his son and you're his daughter, then we have to want everybody home, right?
Yeah. You know, so all this is just so rich. One thought, just back to this, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is known by many names, like Counselor, Paraclete, Advocate. But the word Paraclete has been defined by some as the one who hears the cry. The one who hears the cry. And if we're really honest, when we come to prayer, we should always be asking the Holy Spirit, like, you know, to come, inspire us, lead us. But this is the one that we're inviting to come, this advocate, he's the one who hears the cry. And if we're honest, the cry of every human heart is to know their identity, to know the Father so as to know who they are.
Yeah.
I just love that.
I do too. And I think, and I might even boil that down more to say at the root of identity is it's the question, am I loved? Mm. And, you know, we walked with people last week, you know, after looking at Genesis 3 to look at Luke 15, which is the parable of the prodigal son, and just to see at a certain point, to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to get into that scene and to be that prodigal son or daughter that we've all been, you know, like, that's been every one of us at some point in our life. And we finally make a decision to turn around and to dare to come back home. But of course, we're fearful as all get out of coming back home because we've just said to our Father, I hate you. I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance. And meanwhile, unbeknownst to us entirely, the Father every day has been looking out the window, watching for his daughter or his son, hoping that they would come back. Home. And the moment he sees her or he sees him, Jesus tells us, the Father ran down the road. And we just talk about how Middle Eastern men, they don't run. And to see people's response as they were doing this prayerful exercise of the Father running towards them, not waving a fist, you filthy whatever, how dare you, you know, presume to come back home, but to see the Father running towards them, basically throwing himself into their arms and covering them with kisses and embracing them and welcoming them home. Well, that's what the Spirit wants to do with each and every one of us this week. So let's ask him to do it. And in the meantime, because this is true, this is who our Father is, do not be afraid. God is with you, and you were born for this.
Hello, friends. This is Mary Guilfoyle with X29. Thanks so much for listening. If you're interested in knowing more about our mission, check out our website at acts29.org. That's ACTSXXIX.org, where you can learn more about who we are and what God has called us to do. And while you're there, you can also subscribe to Father John's weekly blog, Thoughts from the Trailer, as well as access the Rescue Project. We also invite you to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. And please pray for us and be assured of our prayers and gratitude for each and every one of you. We look forward to you tuning in next week. God bless you.